All right, thank you very much. Yes, I've got some good news about Dierk Heidel. I just met her daughter in the morning service in the church, and she told me that Dierk is much better now. Really, he had an appendicitis operation last night, but now he's recovering and sending his greeting to us together with his presentation. And as Janos mentioned, yes, I was Professor Heidel's student here in Pécs when I did my first degree here in at the University of Pécs, and he inspired me in many ways, so that's why I took this topic, early Christian art, as my issue of research when I went to London to do my doctorate there. But this time I will read his text, which can be found in the booklet of the conference, and you can follow in German and Italian as well if you wish. Only a limited number of sources exist about catechesis and liturgy from the first four Christian centuries. The available texts, which include the New Testament, the writings of the Apostolic Fathers and the Apologists, as well as the pseudo-apostolic canonic documents, clearly testify to the fact that the Church primarily defined itself as a sacramental liturgical community built over the waters, in which the purified and enlightened fed on the bread and wine mixed with water, i.e. on the body and blood of Christ. More reliable information concerning the details of the sacramental initiation and its theological understanding date from the second half of the 4th century. Father Bishop Athanas Oros has carefully reviewed the Greek sources on Friday. I will return to the Latin tradition in order to show images instead of analyzing texts. First, I will offer a few general remarks on the close relationship between the early Christian initiation and visual art. Next, I offer a brief description of the so-called Peter-Paul burial chamber in Pécs, the Roman town of Sopiana. And finally, I offer some thoughts with a view toward present-day adult catechesis. So first about initiation and early Christian art. The sacramental theology of Western Christianity, influenced by Roman Milan in the first four or five centuries, can be understood with the help not only of texts, but also of architectural monuments. The funerary art, including catacomb painting and sarcophagus carving, is a crucially important source. The imagery of gold glasses, or fondo d'oro in Italian, is equally significant since they were commonly used by Christians to denote the tombs of their loved ones. The Greek and Latin inscriptions, zeses, or vivas, live, express the wish to receive eternal life, or you can say, express the wish for eternal life. Death is a concept with several meanings for Christians and is closely linked to the hope of resurrection. There is the physical death of body, which does not represent the final state because the body will be resurrected. Another death is that of the soul, that is sin, from which a prodigal son can rise up. For this my son, who was dead, is living again. He was lost and is found, as we can read in the Gospel of Luke. Baptism is also considered to be a death, in which the human being is buried with Christ to rise again with him. Finally, the book of Revelation speaks about the second death, interpreted by the fathers, started with Lactantius, to mean eternal damnation after the resurrection. The most common representations of Christian funerary art elaborate on the biblical themes of death, resurrection, tribulation, salvation, disease, healing with simple visual tools. However poor the new imagery was in its visual language and expressive artistic power, it was able to communicate complex theological messages. Early Christian art did make use of symbols, pictograms, and other visual references, but its most important interpretive principle was the typology, well known from Christian exegesis. Typology is based on the parallels or foreshadowing and truth, shadow and reality, prophecy and fulfillment, and was considered the best method for expressing the Christian message in both exegesis and visual culture. Old Testament scenes were always interpreted in terms of fulfillment, following the method of Saint Paul, the evangelist, and the fathers of the church. In accordance with the exegesis of Saint Paul, images like the bringing forth of water or the crossing of the Red Sea were understood to refer to baptism and the Eucharist. I want you to know, says Saint Paul in the first letter to the Corinthians, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses, into the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same supernatural food, and all drank the same supernatural drink, for they drank from the supernatural rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. The rock stands for Christ, and the water for the font, the living water, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, in which the sins, Pharaoh's army, are destroyed. The newly baptized person crosses from death to life in order to participate in Christ's Eucharistic feast of spiritual food and drink. The sacramental nature of early Christian typology has often been overlooked. Starting with the baptismal typology, the meaning of the Exodus widens to become an overall symbol of the whole life of the baptized. Chased by demons and living amid temptations, the one who was born again in Christ and led by him can cross the stormy sea of the world, as Origen describes, beautifully in his homilies on Exodus. Everyone is saved in and through water, like Noah and his family in the ark, which is a preview of both the church and the cross. Early Christian visual art is therefore not directly sensual. It is not intended to create aesthetic beauty, but to grasp the relationship between the prefiguring and fulfillment in an intellectual way. Even the most artfully constructed early Christian sarcophagi or catacomb paintings cannot compete with the masterpieces of contemporary pagan funerary art in creating symbols and mythological scenes, while proclaiming general moral teachings on the transiency of the present life and the hope of hopelessness of the afterlife. The artifacts of Christian visual culture, which evolved during the 3rd and 5th centuries, were not supposed to moralize or illustrate Christological or Trinitarian dogmas, as some art historians have assumed. In the vast majority of cases, patrons express messages about the fall and restoration of human beings, not only in general, but individually, in that they used visual language to tell something about themselves, how they related to the history of salvation, how they were reborn in the church, and what they expect after bodily death. As they had previously died and resurrected in a sacramental manner, they definitely expect immortality and resurrection to eternal life. Thus, the relationship between early Christian visual representations and catechesis is very close. The connection can be seen already in one of the earliest known baptisteries in Dura Europos, which is in Syria. This is Dura Europos from the middle of the 3rd century in Syria, and the reproduction is in at the Yale University in the USA. So, in the Roman catacombs and in the painted burial chambers of Sopiane, the administrative center of the Roman province called Valeria. The iconography of the Peter Paul burial chamber in Sopiane, page. The paintings of the Peter and Paul burial chamber indicate regular symmetrical arrangement both on the walls and on the vault. Entering through the narrow entrance cut into the southern wall, our vision is immediately directed by the gestures of the two apostle figures toward the Christogram painted over the fenestella, a little niche on the northern wall. The Christogram symbolizes the risen Christ, because early Christian art did not represent Christ's passion and resurrection directly. Symmetry rules the eastern and western walls as well. Three biblical scenes appear on both sides according to highly conscious compositional principles. The placement of biblical scenes, both next to and opposite each other, is important. The three images of the Western Wall are considered the three youths in the fiery furnace, Mary and the child, and Noah and the ark. Yeah, that was the Christogram. Another one, And here can we see the Eastern Wall. On the Eastern Wall, the Jonah scene appears in front of the three youths, and the scene from the fall in front of Noah. Consequently, on the Western panels, there is a New Testament scene placed between two Old Testament stories. One rightly assumes that on the Western panels, a New Testament scene was also painted in between the panels of the fall and Jonah. This is confirmed by the different coloring of the frames, a phenomenon which has not previously received special attention from interpreters. In contrast to the yellow frames of the Old Testament scenes, the two middle panels possess thick green framing, including Mary with the child and the destroyed image in front of that. No? Yes, these are the two sides, and you can see the framing around the pictures. What could be the subject of the missing image within green framing? Based on the size of the surface, the panel needs a central figure on its axis. For reasons of content, this figure would need to be someone from the New Testament. The Good Shepherd seems to be the most appropriate figure for this purpose. Let us suppose that a Good Shepherd was painted on the middle panel of the Eastern Wall, and consider the iconographical program of the burial chamber. Imagine that we are standing in the geometrical center of the oblong chamber, back to the entrance. So, could you find an image where the whole chamber is visible?
Obviously.
Yeah?
Here is the...
This is the vault.
The center, the vault.
Vault, and...
And then...
No, the previous walls, one.
This is probably the Good Shepherd.
So, we can now imagine what Professor Heidel wants to interpret. So imagine that we are standing in the geometrical center of the oblong chamber, back to the entrance. Possibly this is the point where a sarcophagus was to be set. While standing at this point, we stretch out our hand sideways so that our body forms the shape of a cross. Our sight falls exactly upon the Christogram on the northern wall. There is a Christogram above our head on the vault as well. Our left hand points to the infant Jesus, while our right hand points to the Good Shepherd. The cross shape is both horizontally and vertically outlined. In both cases, the Christogram appears on the height of the vertical shaft. Just as the cross appears in the Christograms, which include the chi, a symbol of the cross, so the shape of the cross is the organizing principle of the arrangement of the paintings. As the two shafts of the cross intersect four rectangular fields out of the space, so four Old Testament scenes can be seen in rectangular frame intersected by the two shafts of the cross. All the four scenes often occur in early Christian art, because these Old Testament stories played a very important role during the Christian initiation. The scene of the fall indicates how and why death has entered our world and why we have lost the happy life. Opposed to this, traditional scenes of the flight occur in the other three corners. They express the hope that we can escape from the power of death and regain original blessedness, as Noah was saved from the flood, Jonah from the belly of the fish, and the youth from the fiery furnace. Christians regarded these stories as prefigurations of Christ's life and work of salvation. Noah prefigures Christ the Savior. Jesus himself refers to the parallel between the days of Noah and the coming of the Son of Man. As Noah saved the human race from extinction in his ark, so Christ saved human souls from spiritual death in his church. Jonah symbolizes the Christ who descended into hell. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. As far as the Babylonian youth are concerned, early Christian authors emphasize that they symbolize the Trinity, to the knowledge of whom Christ has led us. On the other hand, the liberation of the youth was possible only through the Son of God, the Lord's angel, who descended into the furnace. This element of the story was generally considered a reference to the incarnation of God's Word. Consequently, in accordance with the New Testament symbolism based upon the Old Testament, it is probable that the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep was depicted in front of Mary and child and its counterpart. Birth and death, incarnation of the Word and passion of the Shepherd are closely connected. It would be logical that the Jonah scene to be placed immediately next to the Good Shepherd. Jonah symbolized the Savior descending into the heart of the earth. Turning to the 4 Old Testament scenes, one of them reminds us of the cause of the fall, and 3 refer to the salvation of fallen man through the 3 principal works of redemption. Christ's incarnation is referred to by the 3 youths, his death by Jonah, and his resurrection by Noah. What the Old Testament scenes indicate is typology. The symbolism of the New Testament makes evident on the central images of the 3 walls. Mary with child near the 3 youth, the Good Shepherd near Jonah, and the Christogram near Noah. And final concluding remarks. Although Christian art followed pre-existing patterns and used several elements of Greek or Roman art in many ways, it was in general based on a completely new typological iconography, clearly distinguishable from any other cult. Early Christian visual culture was basically developed from the process of sacramental initiation. The initiation is aimed at transforming the whole person. At the very beginning, the Church made it clear that the candidate of the sacrament should purify his or her senses and mind, and that no one was able to grasp the truth merely with using perception and reason. Understanding is always a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who through baptism activated the spiritual senses of the baptized, so that the neophyte could understand the teachings, rituals, and all the events that he or she had heard and seen. As a member of the body of Christ, the baptized received the faculty of true understanding. From that time on, the faithful possessed everything that was needed for confirming the assurance of things hoped for, believing in the mysteries and transforming the person whose final goal was the vision of God, that is, the blessed life. The early Church was very deliberate in using the possibilities offered by visual media. The images that accompanied the Christian through the whole of life and which played a prominent role on the burial monuments reminded the baptized of the initiation process. The pictures recalled the time of catechesis and the baptismal rebirth continuously present in the Christian's mind. In fact, when we remember, a past event is made present for us. This means that the Christian images can lead us back to our first conversion and baptism, and are effective tool of the everyday conversion. Today, when our world is full of pictures, the Christian communities can use their particularly deep, well-tested tradition and experience of how adults can be led to Christ in a way that allows the images to play a crucial role. Thank you very much for your attention.